Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
There's no right to an abortion, in or implied by the Constitution. It was made up out of whole cloth by the Supreme Court in 1973.
It's one thing to believe something about yourself that is contrary to reality. It is a whole other thing to construct a system that requires everybody else to play along with your illusion.
Regarding Jesus, 2/3 of evangelicals, 65%, affirm this statement: Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. That statement is pure heresy.
Babies?
Babies.
Love?
Love.
Listening?
Ning.
To? Issues?
Issues.
Etc.
Shada.
With?
With.
There?
Dear.
Mommies?
Mommies.
Well, I am one. I've talked an awful lot about my generation, the baby boom generation. I even wrote an article 20 years ago called The Six Commandments of the Baby Boomers. It was mostly oriented toward the baby boomers' effect and their worldview in the church. But nowadays, it's not popular to be a boomer. You're nearing retirement. You're taking up everybody's air and space and real estate. You own the big house and you've got all the investments and everybody else is vying for that house and you're driving up the price. And they want to go to college and you made it expensive to go to college. And all of us have heard that refrain so often made in social media, okay, boomer, just an attempt to dismiss an entire generation. We have our problems. There's no doubt about that. But is there a fourth commandment issue when it comes to our derision for the baby boomers? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the baby boomers and the fourth commandment. Rebecca Curtis, author of a column for Mere Orthodoxy titled Honor Thy Boomer. Then we'll spend some time with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. We'll talk about two issues: the beheading of a French teacher for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, and answering the question, was the atonement cosmic child abuse, as some people allege? Joining us to discuss the baby boomer generation and the fourth commandment, Rebecca Curtis. She's a pastor's wife and mother of 8 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and author of a column for Mere Orthodoxy titled Honor Thy Boomer. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
I'm right at the trailing edge of the boomer generation, born in 1964, the last cutoff date to call yourself a boomer. So I've never really considered myself a true boomer, more of a boomer on the cusp, but for decades, boomers were in the driver's seat, culturally, socially, economically. What has happened to their political fates lately?
I think the boomers get blamed for everything just because it's easy. It's like you walk into a room that's a mess and you say, well, who made this mess? I wasn't in here. I didn't do this. And since we feel like we can't be blamed for the world in which we find ourselves, the place where we land, naturally you're going to say, well, whoever was here before I was did this. It's their fault. And, of course, it's just a fact of history that the boomers were here ahead of Gen X and ahead of the millennials. So when we walk into this messy world, we say, well, you guys did this. This is your fault.
So talk about, and you do so in your piece for Mere Orthodoxy, talk about how the boomers came up. They didn't start out this generation that was well invested and driving up the prices. They started out in a very kind of typically American way, didn't they?
Right. I think if you actually talk to the boomers in your life, whether they're your parents or your grandparents, if you're Gen X or a millennial or even a Zoomer, you are going to find out that they didn't start out in the houses in which you were raised. They started out in small apartments with used furniture, and they didn't make a lot of money. They got married earlier than most of us did, and they accepted all of those things in ways that the generations that followed them have not been willing to do. They lived smaller and poorer and more modest lives and brought us up in such a way that our not having seen those things did not prepare us for it in one sense. They wanted to give us something better. They wanted us to have comfortable lives and bigger houses and nicer things. And we thought that would just keep going into our own young adulthoods, and we're not prepared to take a step back and live in those smaller and more humble ways that they had lived when they were starting out. But of course, we never saw that. All we see is their big houses and their vacations and their health insurance and their retirement plans and say, well, you guys have so much stuff and you're secure and we're not, and we can't live this way, and you don't live that way, so why should we have to? And I think there's a lot of disconnect between what we've seen of them and what their whole lives have been like.
Talk about the tendency for much of the criticism of the boomer generation to focus on the fact that boomers were somehow equated with conservatives, something I've never really understood.
Yeah, this is interesting. If you look at kind of the broad array of anti-boomer literature, for example, there's a fairly recent book, Okay, Boomer, Let's Talk, written by a person who's dyed-in-the-wool leftist, a millennial writer, and she and other people kind of in that cohort definitely think that the boomers are conservative, and that's the problem with them, that they just listen to Fox News and other sources of fake news, and they're all rich, and they all just want to protect their assets and squeeze the little people out of the game. And if you are on a more conservative circuit as far as your news sources and your understanding of the world, what you're hearing is that the boomers were morally lazy, and they wrecked the family, and they had lax sexual ethics and everything else, and that's the real problem with them. And so whatever side of the political fence you're on, you tend to conflate that with whatever the boomers did wrong. So if you're a conservative, you think the problem with boomers is that they were libertines. And if you are a leftist, you think the problem with boomers is that they were too conservative and evil capitalists. And that's actually one of the ways you can tell that all this criticism is poorly thought out, because we're really just, both sides are casting their pet peeves and political complaints onto the boomers as a whole.
You say that when the millennial fangs come out over things like student debt and the housing market and the jobs market, there's a little bit of insincerity at work here. They really don't want to do what the boomers had to do to get where they are.
Right. This goes back to what I was saying before. You know, we have this idea that you have to go to college, you have to get a four-year college degree, and then after that you have to get a job, and then after that you have to buy a house, and then after all of that, you can get married when you're maybe 30. And for over 15 years of your life, you've been in a position where marriage would have some distinct ethical advantages for you. It's a very artificial situation. But the truth is, like I said before, most people are not willing to do that. Young people don't want to get married when they're 18 or 20 or 22 or even 24. They think they're still getting themselves established. They're more concerned about having a good career and a nice place to live and having all of those ducks in a row before they're willing to start what they consider a stable family. And that's not what we see in among most of the baby boomers and the generation before them. They did get married young. They accepted that instability of a young life, and they saw, they still had a historical memory in which a husband and wife were a team, and they worked together for each other's good, for the good of the children they might have. That did change over the course of the boomer's lifetime, but a lot of that wasn't really their fault. The massive social changes that we associate with them were really not ones that they were in a position to make themselves. If you think about the arc of history, the 1960s for the boomers are like the 2010s for the zoomers. So think about, if you consider kids who were born from 1996 to, let's call it 2014, are they responsible for the policy changes that were made in the 2010s or in the social changes that were made in the 2010s? Not much. The oldest of them maybe a little bit. But in the same way, the boomers can't be held responsible for policy changes or social changes that happened in the 1960s. The oldest of them were young adults then. The younger two-thirds of them were in high school or grade school. None of that was stuff that they could do. It was just what they grew up watching and then were normalized into by, you know, the one and a half generations ahead of them.
Did the boomers, in fact, as you say, circle the wagons, and did they make it harder to get through college, buy a house, get a job?
In a certain way, yes. When I say that they circle the wagons, I mean that they were accumulating wealth, and looking at that wealth, they said, well, how can we best protect this? How can we get the most out of it? How can we make our neighborhoods nicer? How can we make our schools better? People of means always want to improve those means and make the most of them. And that's how, you know, if you grew up in the middle class, you grew up in a bigger house than your parents grew up in. You had more, you know, what we call opportunities. You had nicer clothes and you got new things more often. Those were all benefits that they gained from their own acquisition of wealth for the good of their children. We act like the boomers were these horribly selfish people who just wanted nice things for their own use. Oh, that's partially true in the same way that we want nice things for ourselves, but we also want those things for the good of our children to pass on to them so that they will be comfortable and secure and not have to worry about the things that you worry about when you don't have enough money, when you can't go to the doctor, when you don't have a plan for problems that arise in life. So, yes, the boomers circled the wagons, but they did that in the same way that the pioneers circled the wagons, to protect the vulnerable people among them, that is, their own kids and people who are sick or people who needed help otherwise who couldn't protect themselves.
We're discussing Baby Boomers and the Fourth Commandment with Rebecca Curtis, co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically. It's available in print and as an audio and ebook. Learn more at cph.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Ladylike by Rebecca Curtis. When we come back, the boomers expected things to just get better and better and better. Is that necessarily a criticism? Stay tuned.
Not generation.
What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're talking about baby boomers and the Fourth Commandment. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Rebecca Curtis is our guest, author of a column for Mere Orthodoxy titled Honor Thy Boomer. Rebecca, you quote Bruce Cannon Gibney. Boomers assumed that the economy would just grow 3% a year forever and that wages would go up every year and that there would be always a good job for everyone who wanted it. Is that a legitimate criticism?
Yeah, that's just silly. I mean, anyone who has any familiarity with human history knows that things come in waves and cycles, and there are up times and down times, good times and bad times, but you don't know what is going to get thrown your way. And so that's why the boomers passed laws and, you know, especially operated within financial institutions and worked to build better forms of insurance for their own futures and for the futures of their children, because they just knew, well, this isn't going to last. We have to be prepared for times of want, whether that's just personally or on a larger scale, regionally or nationally or whatever. You just want to have something saved up. But you don't know exactly how that's going to go, and you don't know the best way to spread out whatever your means are. That's why we talk about diversifying portfolios and all these other money kind of things that are an attempt to prepare for the unknown. We never know exactly what the downtimes are going to look like, what our needs are going to be during those times. And so it's very disingenuous to say, oh, well, they just thought it would go on like this forever. No, they didn't. But they didn't know exactly what would happen. They did their best, the same as we do.
So you say that our elders are the only protected identity group in the Ten Commandments. And the boomers are our elders, most of us. What do you mean?
Yeah, there's so much talk nowadays about, and I mean, this isn't new either. The term politically correct has been around for a long time. The basic idea is you just don't badmouth anybody based on what group of people they belong to. And you can test this out by substituting any verbal abuse directed toward the boomers. Substitute out boomer and put in any other identity group. Change your criticism to men are like this, women are like this. Change it to any race, oh my goodness, don't even attempt to do that, not even as an example. Change it to any sexual identity group. Change it to a different economic class or educational class. That's all forbidden. But we're willing to trash the boomers day and night for any reason that we can come up with. And this is in direct conflict with what we see in Scripture. It's really strange. We're so careful to speak well of any other group of people according to whatever qualifier we want to group them under. But the Ten Commandments explicitly tell us, honor your father and your mother. And that doesn't change even with their death. Even after our parents are dead and our ancestors are long gone, we still have a duty as children to think well of them and explain everything in the kindest way. And it's something that our refusal to do is in direct disobedience to that commandment.
How much do you think of the current hostility toward the boomer generation is really a criticism of their accident of birth, namely the current hostility to large families, as evidenced in the criticism of Amy Coney Barrett and others who have public figures who have large families?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting idea. I actually spoke to my parents quite a lot about this while I was writing it and thinking about these things. And I asked them, you know, was this, when you were growing up, was it, tell me what it's like to grow up a boomer. Is everybody just, you know, they're just kids all over the place? And they said, kind of, but maybe not as much as you would think. Again, our ideas of what boomer life is like are inaccurate. They're just kind of fantasies that we've allowed to blow up from some small kernels of ideas we have in our minds. And my parents said that it was more common to see families with 4 or 5 kids, but that it was very rare to see, you know, an Amy Coney Barrett type of family with numbers of kids over 5. They said 5 was pretty much the max, and there were a lot of families that were 3 or 4. That was much more common. And the shrinking of the family over time is just another symptom of that kind of wagon circling and excessive safetyism and concern for future risks that since we can't imagine, we just want to minimize our exposure to them. All of that is tied up together. It's our tolerance for risk and for rolling with life's punches becomes smaller and smaller, I think, with each generation.
Finally, then, you just counsel charity when it comes to how these rather arbitrarily made up distinctions of our generations deal with one another over time. Why?
Charity is something all Christians are called to under all circumstances, and I think the vitriol that we see directed against the boomers is just blatantly disregards that call. And furthermore, we only apply it at opportune times. When it comes time to make the budget at the end of the fiscal year or around Christmas, we're all going to be nice to the boomers again, right? It's so disingenuous, again, to act like the boomers have nothing to offer. We know very well what they have to offer, and we come out with our hands out whenever we have need of it. So to extend to our parents the kindness that we would wish to be shown ourselves by everyone, but in particular our own children, I think, is not too much to ask.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of 8 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and author of a column for Mere Orthodoxy titled Honor Thy Boomer. You can read it for yourself under the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Rebecca, thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us on the other side of the break. We'll talk about the beheading of a French teacher for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad and answer the question, was the atonement cosmic child abuse? During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.